The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes it's good to take a step back and look at the big picture. So as we look at where we've come through the Gospel of Luke, we started as in this section of Luke as Jesus set his eyes to Jerusalem. He's been ministering in Galilee, and he sets his face to Jerusalem. And we see some intersecting themes in where we've walked of obedience versus distraction and of hospitality. We see this obedience beginning as Jesus, with singular focus, looks at what his task is. He knows his mission lies in Jerusalem, in the cross, in the grave, in the resurrection. He starts out by sending some of his disciples into a Samaritan village that rejects him. He seeks hospitality. It's rejected. And then James and John, the sons of thunder, are distracted from this mission of Jerusalem by their insult, by their offense, by their desire for revenge, to call thunder and fire from heaven upon this town. They're distracted from the mission of reconciliation. Then Jesus goes and he calls several to discipleship, "Come and follow me." And we see the distractions that come up as people are asked to follow Jesus. "First, let me bury my father. First, let me say goodbye. First, let me. Sometimes our butts get in the way of following Jesus. Then Jesus sends the 72 out in a way of seeking hospitality. Go into the towns, go to a house, knock on the door, say, "May I come in and stay with you?" They go and they seek hospitality. They proclaim the kingdom of God, casting out demons, healing the sick. And they come back distracted. They come back to Jesus. "Jesus, even the demons obey us." Jesus says, "You're distracted by many things. You're distracted by what you're doing so much that you fail to see what God is doing in you. Rejoice not that the demons obey you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And then we see this little aside that he prays, and he says, "Blessed are you, God, that you reveal these things." And then he says to the disciples privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you are seeing now. Rejoice in what you see, the kingdom of God among you." Then we see the parable of the Good Samaritan as Jesus is challenged by the lawyer. "What must I do to inherit eternal life? Who is my neighbor?" We hear this story of obedience, of hospitality, of showing this extravagant hospitality to a stranger. And I imagine that there's much distraction, not only the priest and the Levite who are distracted by things we don't know about, such as they see and they pass by. But I think even those that hear Jesus' words are distracted by the Samaritan, the hated tribe, those who worship differently the same God. So we see these themes of obedience and hospitality set against distraction. And we come to the house of Martha, where these themes come together in this little story of Jesus coming to a house. You know, Luke is a great artist. He paints just enough of the picture that we know the scene, but he leaves just enough out that we have to fill in some gaps. And the way we fill in those gaps reveals as much about us as it does about God. So as we come into this story, we see Martha inviting Jesus into her home. This is the reflection of what it means to be a person of peace. When you come to a house, seek the person of peace. And when the person of peace invites you in, go. Martha invites Jesus in. We think she should be a person of peace, but she's chaos on feet. She has no peace to extend to Jesus. He tells her she is distracted and anxious and troubled about many things. We see in this a contrast between what it means to entertain and what it means to show hospitality. As we entertain, we're seeking to please others so that they may be pleased with us. The focus on their comfort is not about them, but it's about us. How are they going to think about us? Our online world has magnified that as if you stay at a hotel, they send you for weeks afterwards these surveys. Tell us how we did. Rate us 5 stars. Their focus is not really on how I felt there. Their focus is on marketing for the next guy. We see in Martha this thread of comparison, I think. What if my house isn't quite as good as the last house that Jesus came to? What about, I know he could go over to Sarah's house and be much better. How can I be as good as that? We probably even have that self-talk. Do y'all have self-talk? Where we assume what other people are thinking about us. Oh my, he looked the other way. Perhaps he needs water. I'll go get him water. And we never ask what those assumptions are. We're so concerned about catering to what we think people want, we never even ask, how can I serve you? Martha is so concerned about all of this going on, she even complains to her guest. Think about it. Complaining to your guest. Do you believe what my sister is doing? Can't you fix her? Complaining to a guest is the worst in true hospitality. But I think she may be distracted by something else. What are the neighbors gonna say when they see that Mary, my sister, is disgracing this house by going where a man sits? It's a radical look at Jesus inviting Mary into the place where only men sat. You remember going to your grandparents and the men sat in one room and the women sat in the other room, and the men talked man stuff and the women talked women stuff? And that's just the way it was. I think that's the way it was for a long time. And Mary would not be welcome at most rabbis' feet. And most of the women would be disgraced. Oh my, Mary is where the men folk are. I think Martha is very distracted and disturbed by that as well. But Jesus looks at her as she complains to him and says, only one thing is necessary. And Luke leaves open what that one thing is, doesn't he? So what is that one thing that is necessary? We can look back a bit at Luke. As Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem, to the one thing, to the manifestation of the kingdom of God in the cross and the resurrection. To the disciples that are called, they're told to focus on the one thing, following Jesus. As those who are sent out are to focus on one thing, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. Jesus steps back and he looks at the cities where he's been, where he's ministered, where he's performed signs and wonders, and he says, woe to you cities! I have been among you, and if Sodom and Tyre and Sidon had seen these things, they would be in sackcloth and ashes, but you have not recognized the kingdom of God in your midst. We see the disciples that return, those 72 that return, who are distracted by the signs and wonders as well. Jesus says, rejoice in this one thing, that your names are written in heaven, and your eyes are blessed by what you have seen. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, we see that one thing as imaging the character and nature of God in mercy and compassion. We see that one thing in Mary listening at the feet of Jesus. That one thing is recognizing, receiving, and rejoicing in the kingdom of heaven in our midst. Recognizing, receiving, and rejoicing in the kingdom of heaven in our midst. Away from the distractions, away from everything else that concerns us, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we get busy and anxious and troubled and distracted, and we don't recognize that one thing. I'm sure you're thinking, but what about the food? The bread isn't going to make itself. This is Jesus sitting there. Jesus who took the measly 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands. But what about? This is Jesus. But what about? This is Jesus. The funny thing about welcoming Jesus in is that wherever Jesus comes in as a guest, he becomes the host. Think about that as we look at Jesus sitting at table. And Jesus sits at table a lot in Luke. Luke's an eating gospel. And as Jesus sits at table, Jesus enters as a guest, but he becomes the host. When we welcome people in as guests, hospitality is allowing Jesus to be the host. And in that, we can recognize, receive, and rejoice in the kingdom of heaven among us. But still, we get distracted and anxious and troubled about many things that take us away from that one thing. I think the church big, is distracted by many things. We're distracted by the culture around us. Some churches want to be just like the world around us. Some churches want to be so different that they're entirely separated. But their focus is not on the kingdom of God, but on the culture around them. The things that go on around us threaten to distract us from the one thing. I think the church is very distracted by the debates on sexuality, especially the sexuality of the people that aren't like us. It's very easy to look at homosexuality and the blessing of homosexual unions and ignore the presence of God in our own marriages, to ignore the call of God in our own sexuality, to ignore how God works in us. Our own diocese and an Anglican communion are distracted by the issues of who we should ordain. And as long as we can talk about who we shouldn't ordain, we're distracted from the discernment of who we should ordain. And we're distracted from those difficult discussions about what is the true nature of ordination in the priesthood. How does God work in and through the church through ordination? It's easy to become distracted. I become distracted. I remember, I love the high church liturgy. I love the smells and the bells and the vestments and all of that. But I can get so caught up in the doing that I can worship the liturgy and the trappings far more than the God that it's intended to honor. I can become distracted fairly easily. I can become distracted by my own self-talk. Sam, I wonder what they're thinking. Maybe I need to, in those assumptions that distract me from seeing the work of God in each of you, the work of God in me. I can be easily distracted by that glowing rectangle that I carry around in my pocket. It beeps and I look, it has me very well trained. I stand and I'm bored and I say, here's a rectangle to entertain me. It is easy to seek the distraction rather than prayer. I can be distracted by my own busyness. You know, if I were to pray twice a day, when would I do? And in answering that, I find the ways that I am distracted. So I wonder, what about you? How are you distracted from seeing the kingdom of God at work in, around, among, and through you? What keeps you from recognizing, receiving, and rejoicing in the kingdom of God? In answering that, I invite you to consider what is truly necessary in your life. I mentioned making time to pray. What is it that distracts you and keeps you from that time dedicated to looking and seeking and hearing from God? What is it that keeps you from recognizing, receiving, and rejoicing in the kingdom of God? And how might you dedicate time to do that? How might you choose the better portion? To choose hospitality over entertainment? To choose prayer over distraction? To choose the Eucharistic life in which we are chosen and invited by God? We are blessed, we are broken, and we are given to the world. How might you choose? So I invite you, as we come to this table today, lay aside your distraction. Lay aside those things about which you're anxious, even just for the moment. Lay aside the things that trouble you. Lay aside your regrets, your hurts. Lay aside all those things and come to the table. Come and recognize Christ in the body and the blood. Come and receive Christ into you, that he may dwell in you and you in him. Receive the kingdom of God and rejoice. And then we go into the world carrying that with us. You know, we have something special coming up this week. We're going to bless Christie's house. So we come as a community to recognize the work of God already present there, to receive formally in prayer and in blessing God into the house, to welcome him as guest, to become host, to rejoice in what God is and will do in that dwelling. We come to manifest the kingdom of God in a place and a time. So I invite you to consider, how will you manifest the kingdom of God in a place and a time this week? Where do you need to stop and intentionally say, God, I know you're at work. Show me where that I may receive you. To stop in your busyness, that your anxiety, your troubling, your distraction, and say, God, I want to see you here. That's a prayer God will always answer if we let him. Because God is always at work. God is always with us. I pray that we can choose the better portion and see him this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.